We bless you, Master. We bless you, and we exalt you. We call on the name above all names, Jesus. And we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies and your grace. We repent for every sin, transgression, and iniquity, every works of the flesh, selfish ambitions, touching in agreement with the voice of the stranger. Lord, we repent. We ask that you'll wash our spirit, soul, and body, our members and memories, our emotions and imaginations with the blood of Christ and the stripes of Jesus. As we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to take your rightful place, establish us, perfect us, sanctify us, anoint us, appoint us, and prepare us, that we may be well-pleasing to the Father, bringing glory to the name of Jesus and yielding to your voice in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a Holy Ghost hug. Tell them this is your day. How's everybody? To God be the glory. Welcome to the wilderness. Welcome to the desert. But we have victory, don't we? We have victory. You know, one of the things that is going to have to be maintained in a desert is consistency. Consistency. You know, consistency is what allows us to endure. If we're not consistent, we can't endure because we get swayed too easy. And in that justification and reasoning and all of these other foolish things will begin to amount to where they build up and overtake us. And we're not consistent. In other words, we don't fight anymore. And in that, you know, it's like there's a river that flows. And you have to sometimes drive to the river. And there's all kinds of detours and closed roads and whatever it may be, traffic lights, you know, stop signs, whatever it may be. But we've got to make it to the river. And that's called the oasis. So in this, we must endure. That's where we must be consistent. We can't give up just because something begins to happen. We can't give up because of circumstances. We can't give up. We must continue to endure and be consistent, because an individual that's consistent is faithful. And an individual that is not consistent, God can't trust. So there are certain things he's going to release to those who have been faithful. And then those who are not faithful in certain areas, he can't release them because he can't trust them with them. In this, especially in the wilderness, where, you know, the purpose of being in the wilderness, and we know, all know that the whole world is in the wilderness, right? So in the wilderness, there's got to be a change, and we've got to be able to allow God to change us. We're no longer caught up in the arena of flesh, where there's no more an area of offense, where there's no more area of jealousy, where there's no more area of manipulation. There's pure honesty, because pure honesty will be reflected to a pure heart, where there's no more hiding. Everything is open, no matter what it is. Why? Because God knows. God knows. And this is where a relationship is being established, because God brings us into the desert, which we're all in the desert. We're going to stay in here. Two events are going to happen, the rapture and the wrath. So we're going to stay here no matter what. But for me and you to be in the desert and in the wilderness is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, because your enemy will not be able to survive where you will. Does everybody got it? Does everybody got it? Your enemy can't survive, you will. But in that, you still must endure while you're there and while we're in this wilderness. And everything is still available to us. Healings, deliverance, freedom. You know, we minister in the jail, and many people who are in the jail are in bondage. But, you know, after the Spirit gets a hold of them, they get free. Even though that they may be in jail, they're freer than they've ever been. So in this, it doesn't matter. For the wilderness, for me and you, it's cool. Because God will lead us to the oasis. He'll lead us to places. All kinds of things will begin to happen. So, but for our enemy, it's going to be a little bit difficult. And he's going to come to steal, kill, and destroy everything that you have, because he knows his time is short, because he's in the wilderness also. Has everybody got it? So the whole world is in the wilderness. The world is fighting and surviving, and you and I are surrendering. So in the wilderness, we're surrendering and the world is surviving. And that's the beauty of it. Because in the wilderness, we have victory. Jesus had victory. And what's going to happen in the wilderness, we're going to decree our way through all the way to the promised land, just like Jesus decreed the word, didn't he? He declared, he prophesied. You and I will prophesy our way right through. That's why we make decrees. That's why people who don't speak the word are caught up in the wilderness, but they're not prospering. The devil's stealing everything because they don't know the truth. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if you don't know the word of God, then you'll be destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, the devil will have access to you to come steal, kill, and destroy. He'll afflict you. He'll put sickness on you and diseases on you and all kinds of things he can do. What? To prevent you from being a witness of Christ, from fulfilling what God's plan has for you. Is everybody okay? Now, in the wilderness, there are many things that are happening. And we know that the cloud was leading the people by day and the fire by night. So that means that you and I must be led by the Spirit, because only those who are led by the Spirit are sons and daughters of God. That's what's going to separate us. Has everybody got it? Listen, a lot of religiosity is going to be exposed in the wilderness. Those who claim to be believers, but it's more of an outward walk instead of an inward walk. And God is requiring an inward walk, a heart change. Not just an outward appearance or a form of godliness, but an inward walk. Where there is a pure heart, where we're walking with the Lord heart to hand and cheek to cheek, man. I'm telling you. Where we become like-minded, because in the wilderness, we must become like-minded. Not an outwardness, but an inwardness. And this is where God begins to establish his heart and his mind, because isn't it everybody's heart's desire to know the mind of God, to know what pleases him? But see, sometimes people are using God and not really wanting to please God. They just, they're only time that they say they're blessed is when God gives them something. Well, that's exposed in the wilderness. Because we're blessed no matter what. Whether you're getting what you want or you're not getting it. But I'm telling you, God always answers you. It's either yes or no or not yet. Not time. Bam. Not time. But. And let me tell you, the but ministry is going to cook in the wilderness. There is no but ministry in the wilderness. That will have to be kicked. There's only yes ministry. There's a ministry of the Spirit. So we must be constantly led. Again, I want to share with you the importance of the Spirit. Quickened me just before we got getting started here is the area of being consistent. Being consistent. We must be consistent in prayer. We must be consistent in decree. We must be consistent in worship. We must be consistent. Because your fight yesterday is easier than today. Has everybody got it? And your fight today will be easier than tomorrow. Why? Because there's more and more demonic forces being unleashed daily. More. More. Praise God. Would you grab your Bible, please? And turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9. Oh, it's a good day to die. Would you read it with me? But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It hasn't entered into the man. Has everybody got it? But it is for me and you, but it says God, but God has what? Revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, what he's talking about is revelation. I want to talk about wilderness revelation. Because one of the areas of being in the wilderness is so God can reveal things to you, the deep things of him, so that he can reveal to you who he truly is and who you truly are. Because many times, God's children don't know who they really are. And the devil keeps them bound mentally. Everyone say mentally. It's called a mind-binding spirit. And that mind-binding spirit will keep you in bondage. He also puts a deaf and dumb spirit on us so we can't receive. Hello? Is everybody okay? And that deaf and dumb spirit will prevent you from receiving the things of God or getting revelation from God. It will cause you to be lazy and compromise and think that what you have is sufficient. It will stop you from seeking and going deeper. And in the wilderness, we must go deeper. Amen. You know where the oil is? In the desert. Hello. That's where all the oil is. It's in the desert, man. And that's where the devil dwells, in the desert, because he uses oil to manipulate people, humanoids. Why? Because the god of this world is actually money. It's amazing how people get sucked and moved by money because it's their god. But they say they trust Jesus, but you tell them to empty their bank account and give it to God. Didn't God test one of the dudes, man? Jesus tempted, he said, come on. Okay, big fella. Because he came up to the Lord and said, Lord, I do this, I do that. Aren't I a good boy? Come on, I fast 16 times a week. I pray 40 times a day. I anoint myself, my family, I sacrifice, I do this, I do that. Oh my God, I'm so good. And the Lord said, go, sell everything you got and follow me. He said, hold on a sec. So Jesus revealed his religiosity. Stinky religion. Amen. See, this is where God wants us to follow him with heart. Not just use God because he blesses you. Has everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Let's go on a little further. In verse 11. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we what? That we might, in other words, you must cooperate, that we might know the things that have been revealed, freely revealed to us by God, by revelation. These things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the what? Mind of Christ. Well, if truly we're yielding and the mind of Christ is being manifested in us, then all of us should be led to all truth. We should be like-minded then. I mean, you know, there's just, we should know the heart of God, right? We should really know. Well, what happens is people stop seeking, they stop getting revelation, and their desire becomes revelation to them. Come on, listen. The desire becomes revelation to them because it will speak louder than the voice of God. And then they'll say, well, I got revelation. God's given me my desire. Ah! But it really wasn't God. Does everybody understand that? And what it does is then it brings an individual into bondage. It brings a deaf and dumb spirit and a mind-binding spirit. Now that individual becomes double-minded. Has a form before you, but not in your presence. They're another person. Does everybody get this? And this is what God is exposing. See, this is what happens in the wilderness because he doesn't want us to be double-minded anymore. He wants us to be single-minded with the mind of Christ. Is everybody okay? So the things of God have been prepared to those who know him and those who are known by him. This is called revelation. And it is revelation time because in the wilderness, God will begin to expose more and more things in our life. And what happens is the spirit begins to expose things. If that deaf and dumb spirit is there and that mind-binding spirit is there, that's all you'll fight with. You'll fight. Let me share this with you. You'll fight for compromise. You'll fight for reasoning. You'll fight for justification and not willing to receive truth that will sever. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51 and verse 1. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. He said, what? Listen. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. A lot of people hear, but not everybody listens. Hearing has to do with the mind. Listening has to do with the heart. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him what? Alone, and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion, and he will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So that's supposed to be for me and you. Why? Because we're in a desert. But he says, you must seek. Now, he called Abraham, didn't he? Now, that's kind of wild because he called Abraham, which Abraham didn't really know where he was going. And Abraham was a wealthy man. Nice family, you know. Everybody around him. And the Lord calls Abraham out. Does everybody got it? He calls him out from where he's at. Now, go to Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. Is everybody there? Everybody okay?
Yes.
Genesis 12, I'm going to start at verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will what? Oh, that I will show you. So what was he doing? He says, listen to me. Listen to me. Get revelation. I'm going to move you out of a place where you're comfortable, where you're secure. I'm going to move you out of a place where you're familiar. I'm going to move you out of a place where you're religious. I'm going to move you out of the place where you're socially known, where things are common. I'm going to move you out of a place. So everybody got it? See, so many times we have a hard time moving because we get too comfortable. That's where we become complacent and compromise, because we get comfortable. And God is saying, I'm going to move you out. He tells Abraham, I'm going to move you from all of this area. And what does he say in verse 2? He says, and I'm going to what? I'm going to make you a great nation, and I will what? Bless you. I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now I want you to understand something. So Abraham goes into the wilderness. He departs. All right? Now, this is so powerful, because I'm going to skip all the rest of this stuff. And if you'll go to verse 10, what does it say? Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. So what does God do? He pulls Abraham out of his plenty and sends him into a famine. See, so many times people are caught up in the natural realm of what's going on, because this country is in a famine. But do you know that God can bless your socks off in the famine? He sent Abram right into a famine, man. Right out of his comfort zone, his security, his familiar things, all of these things that Abraham was so reliant on, his being around his family and friends, and God says, get out. I'm going to bless you. But Lord, you're blessing my socks off right now. This is wonderful. I know. I know. But let's come out of self-will and start my will. See, so you can't keep relying on the area and being just blessed. You know, people get caught up in the area of just, oh, bless me, bless me, bless me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Where they stay in a position just to be blessed instead of doing the will of God. because those blessings will turn into a curse. So here Abraham, I mean, God tells him, come on out. He sends him right into a famine. Does everybody get it? See, this is where Jesus wants to be glorified. Because so many times we've been comfortable in everything around us, doing the will of self instead of the will of God. And he has a form of godliness. But he's saying, come on, let's go, Abram. Get out of where you're at. Let's get into the famine. I know it doesn't look good, but I'm going to bless your socks off anyways. I told you. See, so Abram had to leave in obedience to God because he trusted God more than his own opinion. He trusted God more than the voice of the stranger. He trusted God. Why? Because the Lord would give Abraham something wonderful. Fresh revelation. Has everybody got it? Everyone say fresh revelation. So in the wilderness, I'm telling you that not only revelation can come, but so can refreshing. Revelation and refreshing can come in the wilderness. What happens also in the wilderness? Our common belief system. Our belief system is going to increase in an area where we come from belief to faith. Because belief is much of an outwardness and faith is an inwardness, isn't it? Go to Exodus 3. Exodus 3. Is everybody there in verse 1? We'll read the first three, four verses. Now Moses was what? Tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert. To where? The back of the desert. And came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am, Lord. So when did the Lord call him? When he turned to the bush. So here was Moses 40 years in the desert. Hello. Hanging out with flock. Nothing was happening. It was dry. And 40 years in the desert, Moses gets revelation. What does he see? A light. He sees the burning bush. And in this burning bush, when he sees it, but then he turns to it. And when he turns to it, what happens? God speaks. Did he get revelation? You betcha. Why? Because wilderness revelation is available for me and you. Wilderness revelation is essential for me and you. Does everybody understand that? Go to Luke 3. But Moses didn't get revelation until he what? He turned. Oh, you think we need to be consistent in turning? Luke chapter 3, verse 2. While Ananias and Sapphias were high priests, the word of God came to who? John, the son of Zacharias. Where? In the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the what? Salvation of the Lord. So where did he get this revelation? In the wilderness. Does everybody got it? In the what? In the wilderness. Go to Galatians 1. In the wilderness is revelation and refreshing. And Paul writes to the Galatians, and in verse 15, he writes, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. His what? His son in me. Everyone say, the Lord is revealing His Son in me. Ooh. That I might preach Him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with what? Flesh and blood. Where did He go? To the wilderness. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia, the wilderness, and returned again to Damascus. Does everybody see this? Why? Listen, Paul got powerful revelation in the wilderness. Didn't he? Now, you see here that he says, God revealed His Son Jesus in me. Now, when Jesus was in the wilderness, what was, if you recall, He was tempted. What was the temptation? If you are the what? Son of God. In the wilderness. Does everybody get it? Why? Because in the wilderness, God wants you to know who He truly is and who you truly are. And you will be tempted by the devil in this area of who you are. You got this. This is important. Why? Because people will call you weird. They'll mock you. They'll say all kinds of things about you. They'll call you self-righteous. They'll say, you know, all kinds of goofy things. Why? Because they can't understand the things of the Spirit because they are foolish to them, aren't they? They'll wonder why you used to walk with them a certain way, but you don't walk with them that way no more. Why? Because you're making the choice to be led by the Spirit because you want to be a son of God or a daughter of God. That way the Son of God can be revealed in you and through you. But you will be tempted in the wilderness. And in this area, people are going to see the Son of the living God in each and every one of us in a greater and mightier way. That's why there'll be more signs and wonders. There'll be revival. All kinds of things are going to be happening during this wilderness time. Remember, the whole world is in the wilderness, not just the body of Christ. Everybody is. And in the wilderness, two events are going to happen. The rapture of the church and the wrath of God. That's it. Turn to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5. Verse 23. Oh, I guess we'll start at 22. And Moses calls Israel, all the people together, and because he comes back with the ten commandments of the Lord. And in verse 22, he said, these words the Lord spoke to all of your assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. See, one of the things that's established in the wilderness is God's law. In other words, spiritual law. In other words, he's now establishing these things. Anything in the area where we're not walking according to the law of the Spirit and his commands. Let's go a little further. And so it was when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness while the mountain was burning with fire that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. That's called revelation, isn't it? Yet he still lives. It's amazing. You go try to tell your neighbor that you heard from the Lord that day. If your neighbor's not saved, they'll think you're an idiot. And they'll have 911 on the mind. This person's crazy. I never forget when I started telling some of my family after, you know, I was an addict for over 20 years and out of jail, and all of a sudden, yeah, you had a Lord share with me this. They all like looked at me, uh-oh. You know, even my close friends that I knew in the world, they ran. They thought I really snapped. Stay away from guy, he's seen God. Ha, 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 ha. So they thought I was bonkers, you know. But I actually came to my right mind, the mind of Christ. I was bonkers before that. In verse 25, and it says, and now therefore, why should we die? See, now they were afraid, weren't they? But they didn't fear God. They were afraid of dying. Does everybody got it? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more. Then we shall die. Now, wait a minute. They just made confession that God speaks and no man dies. Then all of a sudden, fear came on them, didn't they? And this fear was saying, man, you can't talk to God. You listen to God, you'll die. In other words, you'll lose your life. You go near. So they told Moses, man, you go near and hear all that the Lord has for us. And tell us all that the Lord God says to you, and we will hear and what? Do it. But did they hear and do it?
No. They didn't listen.
They needed their own revelation. Does everybody get it? It's important that you get your revelation. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good that we hear from the Lord and we get revelation, right? Paul wrote the Bible through revelation. But you must get your own revelation. You can't constantly live on somebody else's revelation. It ain't going to happen. You must go get revelation. Why? Because the revelation God gives you will bring personal relationship. Does everybody get this? And this is why in the desert, God is beginning to expose all of this. People are relying on pastors. People are relying on just the church. People are relying on, listen, you got to rely on God. Your pastor can't bring you home. It's your relationship with the Lord that brings you home. And you must have a personal relationship with Him. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church. You must have a relationship with the Lord. Has everybody got it? People think that they go to church and they read their Bibles and say, oh, I'm good now. No. Did you hear what God told you today? Did you listen to what God told you today? Or did you just assume? Did you make plans without the Lord? He says, acknowledge me in all your ways and I'll establish your steps. Commit to me your works and I'll establish your thoughts. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. This is a part of the change that is required to listen and obey by revelation. Does everybody got it? Listen and obey by revelation. Proverbs 29. Now don't take this out of context, what we talked about here, and start, you know,
well, I don't need to go to church no more. You know, I don't need to be submissive under anything. You know, hello.
Use this wisely. Don't justify and reason and compromise. In Proverbs 29 and verse something. Did y'all get there? Good. Verse 18. Would you read it with me? Where there is no revelation, the people cast off what? Restraint, but happy is he who keeps the. In other words, they get discouraged. They get discouraged, and let me tell you something. Without revelation, the enemy knows. Does everybody know this? That the enemy knows that you're not getting revelation. So what he does is begin to give you his revelation, and he starts in putting desires in you. Things that are not of God. But you think that they're of God because you got revelation. But see, please understand this. Revelations from God are to deny yourself, not promote yourself. Amen. Hello. Revelations of God are not to puff you up, to bring you humble. If you get a revelation of God, it should put you in a place of more fear of God. More fear, more reverence of God. Revelations from the devil will puff you up, will promote yourself, and will move you out of position. But these revelations in the wilderness are so important because they will bring you from revelation to revelation where there is refreshing. You will get fresh manna. See, in the wilderness, if you think about it, what was given to the Israelites, the first thing that was given to them was the law, wasn't it? Well, actually, the feasts were given to them also. So certain things were given to the Israelites in the wilderness. He was feeding them every day with manna, wasn't he? Fresh manna was coming every day. except for, you know, on the Sabbath day. And then the feast came. So that was direction, wasn't it? It was a revelation with the feast. Built a tabernacle where they were able to offer and sacrifice. Does everybody get this? And then they were led by the Spirit of God every single day. Every day. Would you go to Ephesians 1? So without revelation, people go astray in their heart to self-will and lose the will of God. Ephesians 1. You know, I want to share with everyone that it's important that every day you should be looking for revelation. Every day. It's not just a one-time event. Just don't come to Sunday and get revelation by what revelation has been manifested. Has everybody got it? Yeah, we get revelation fellowshipping together, but God wants you to have personal revelation. Personal revelation. And it's revelation, wilderness revelation. That's you and God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, would you read it with me? Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the what? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who? Him. In other words, these revelations ought to make it to where you know him more, not less. And the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Praise God. Does everybody see this? The spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. Now go to Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? You getting revelation? In verse 1, let's start there. Therefore you are what? Inexcusable, O man. Whoever you are, who judge, for in whatever you judge according another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the what? Oh, practice the same thing. It's amazing how people love to judge everybody else, but they're still doing the same thing. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in a day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by practice continue, everyone says continue, in doing good, seeking for glory, honor, immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and what? Anguish. And every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. So we are talking about the area where the Lord, remember, during this wilderness, which is it, we're in the wilderness, so it's time to go. Two events are going to happen, the rapture and the wrath. And that's what he speaks about right there. The revealing of Jesus the rapture or the wrath. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? A sword. A sword. Wow. So you can fight. Come on. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a brother-in-law against his mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will what? That's the purpose of the wilderness, to lose your life. So the life of Christ. And he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So we're talking about losing our life in the wilderness. So everybody got it? Go to Matthew 25. In verse 31. Would you read it? When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them as one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. And they will be exposed in the wilderness. The goat is one who bucks. He's rebellious. A sheep is willing to lay down his life. He doesn't fight for his life any longer. He fights for the life of Christ. And John 7, in verse 37, somewhere around there. John 7, yeah, verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone, what? Thirst, let him come to me and what? And drink. You think you're thirsty in the desert? You betcha, man. That's the purpose of being there. So that you're constantly seeking. You're looking for revelation daily. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you always have the Lord before you. Always have the Lord before you. He says, and he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Does everybody see that? Now, again, I want you to understand that this drink is available for me and you in the desert. It causes us to go for revelation. Why? Because this revelation that you will get from God in the desert will be drink to you. And in this, you'll be able to speak it yourself, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Has everybody got it? So people will be sharing revelation. There'll be confirmation and everything that's going on in the spirit. And it's almost like everybody turning on their faucet at one time and flooding the place with God's presence. Oh, hallelujah. So we will thirst for revelation in the desert. Go to Proverbs 18. Now, can God heal you through revelation? Yes. Can he deliver you? Yes. Can he prosper you? Amen. Can he lead you to another well? Amen. To the oasis. In Proverbs 18, in verse 4, would you read it? The words of a man's mouth are what? Deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Go to Proverbs 16 and 21. See, you will have a thirst and hunger to want more. You'll want more. The moment you don't want more, somebody's there, and it ain't God. Does everybody get it? The moment you want more of something of the world and more of the things of God, something's not right. Verse 21, it says, the wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increase what? Learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the what? To the bones. Does everybody see this? Why? Because healing can come through revelation. Go to Proverbs 20. Since we're in Proverbsville. In verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of what? Winter. So he's caught up in his circumstance, isn't he? Doesn't matter whether it's winter or not. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Does everybody see that? Verse 5, counsel in the heart of a man is like what? Deep water. But a man of understanding will what? Draw it out. Glory. It will draw it out. See, so you will draw out revelation. You will draw, God will lead you so that you can draw out revelation. Does everybody see this? Why? And it will bring encouragement. It will expose false desires. It will expose deception. It will expose the misleading of the devil. See, when people stop seeking revelation, they go astray. Proverbs 10 and verse 11. Read it with me, please. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Does everybody see that? See, so you will be speaking life. Why? Because you will be prophesying through the wilderness. Does everybody got it? You'll be decreeing. You'll be prophesying. Remember the Lord said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring your what? Sword. So this sword is called the sword of the Spirit, not the sword of your thoughts. It is the sword, not the sword of your flesh. It is the sword, not the sword of your anger. The sword of the Spirit. Does everybody got it? And that sword of the Spirit will be added. Now listen, this, what adds to the sword of the Spirit is revelation knowledge. Does everybody want adding to the sword of the Spirit? In other words, it's like your Holy Ghost bazooka that you're loading up. Amen. You're loading it up with bullets. You're loading it up with the Word of God. Well, how many of y'all know that the Word of God is revelation knowledge? It's revelation that God gives me and you that you put in that bazooka for us, a specific weapon used at that time. To decree, to defeat your enemy, and to move you forward. That's why we should always be advancing. If we're not advancing, it's because people are not getting revelation. Is everybody all right? Is everybody okay here today? I'm going to close at this next verse. Isaiah 12. Do y'all get revelation? I don't mind sharing revelation. But get your own. Start at verse 1. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you, though you are angry with me. Your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the name of the Lord upon his name. Declare his what? Deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done exceedingly things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Welcome to the desert. It's a wonderful place to be because it's a good day to die. Amen. Oh, your life can't survive in the desert. Only the life of Christ can survive in the desert. To God be the glory. But remember, he will prosper you. He will use you as a sign and wonder. But you got to remember also There's serpents and scorpions, and the enemy is in the desert. That's why the Lord has come to give us revelation. He will lead us in revelation. You must look for it constantly, every day. And look for confirmation to make sure your revelation is of God and not of the devil. Amen. Hello? And you will prosper and be fruitful. And you won't have to fight for your life. You will fight for the life of Christ. And he will be glorified. And when he comes to pick you up, you'll have a ticket to get in. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed to be your children. And we thank you, Lord, for wilderness revelation. Thank you for giving us revelation to decree, to defeat, to advance, to rescue, to expose, and to dig more wells that we can come together and swim in the oasis. Thank you. Now, Lord, prepare our hearts as we commune with you in every area. Establish your kingdom in us and through us. And let your favor abound in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.